Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Welcome, 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 my friends, to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me. I have this beautiful guest with me. I'm so excited to introduce you to. Hello, Colby. How are you?
Hi, Sunny. I'm delighted to be here. That's how I am today.
I'm very, very excited. I know that this is going to be a treat for a lot of the viewers. They don't even know what they're in for yet. So I'm very excited to have you here. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sunny. It's really an honor.
All right. So my friends, just want to introduce you to Off the Cuff. If you're new, welcome. We are here every weekday at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time. Off the Cuff is a live podcast. It is conversational, enlightening, high energy, and fun. It is meant to help you expand your heart and your mind and bring bright lights that I'm aware of into a greater space so that more of you recognize these change makers. And so I'm really excited about this because I met Colby, gosh, was it 2 years ago?
Wow, I think so, yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago. And she's a bright light and she's got a lot to share. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a great conversation. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston, psychic medium, thought leader, and change maker myself. I love getting to know people and know kind of what makes them tick and why they do what they do and who they are, not who they show themselves to be, but who they really are. So Off the Cuff is an opportunity to ask some questions about what these change makers have going on in their lives, what they think, how they feel, and then some a little more personal off the cuff kind of questions. So thank you all so much for joining us today and welcome Colby. Yay! So excited. We coordinated. We have our white on today. So, and we're both dressed. So we're quite proud of that.
That's quite an achievement already.
It certainly is. Like I have real clothes on. Colby was saying she has real clothes on. Not like just gym clothes, real clothes. So, all right. To start off, my friends, what I want to do, Colby, is I want to read your bio. This bio that I have in front of me is quite short. In comparison to everything that actually would be included in a bio for you, which is like this whole page, that whole page. There is a lot to you, but I'm going to share the small bio, and I think we'll expand into some of the great, great things that you've been doing. So Dr. Colby Carr is a scientist from the University of Oxford, where her main focus was on disruptive technologies to enhance healthcare. In 2014, she was invited to continue her research in the United States as an alien of extraordinary abilities. I love that. A year after her move to California, Colby had her first experience of energy medicine, and it completely shifted her understanding of health and wellness. It does that for us. Since then, she's applied her love of genetics to quantifying the scientific basis of holistic healing. That's why I'm having her on. Colby is a certified Hatha and Kundalini yoga teacher, and she combines her love of the yogic ancient wisdom traditions with her deep academic training at Oxford to offer a unique perspective on the interface of science and spirituality. Awesome. So excited to talk with you, Colby.
Yeah, me too.
So my friend, let me ask you a question just right off the top. So with this pandemic that's been happening and you as a scientist and someone who actually studies viruses, how have you responded? Because what I'm noticing, especially right now, is a lot of people have an external response and an internal response. They're feeling one way, but they're showing up another way. So how has this affected you, and how are you perceiving what's happening right now?
Well, actually, your introduction really just sparked something in my mind when you said that you spoke about people turning up in one way and being a different way on the inside. And that, you're right, has really come through in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. I personally feel myself to be in the extremely privileged position of being able to use this world event as a platform for change. Mm-hmm. And I do recognize that as a privilege. I recognize that there are many people who don't have the privilege of being able to see this as an opportunity for us to think different and be different. And the idea, though, of our insides and our outsides aligning is so important to me in response to the pandemic, because one of the things that I've been really observing as I watch people respond or react to this particular world event is that oftentimes, at least from my perception, they're responding from a place where their insides maybe haven't had a chance to recover or to be undamaged from a childhood experience or an ancestral experience. And so their response might not necessarily be a reflection of their current outward environment. And that's something that I'm really, really big on, is how does the way I'm behaving in the world today reflect what's actually happening to me in the world today? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really shown up in the pandemic, because my perspective was, what's happening to me in the world today is that I get to spend more time in my garden, I get to spend more time reading, I get to spend more time writing. And again, I recognize that that's a really privileged position. But it was a real eye-opener for me to then be able to observe individuals who don't get to respond from that position, and that their environment could have been the same. Actually, the environment could have been that they were able to read more or be in the garden more, mm-hmm. or spend more time in fresh air, but their insides potentially weren't enabling them to see that particular perspective because of the fear that lies in their cells. I hope that makes sense.
Makes sense to me. I'm with you. I actually was just teaching a class this morning, and we were talking about being triggered in this current experience, whatever the situation is, and being triggered and recognizing that something is triggering you. It's not about the something in front of you.
Exactly. 100%. And I want to be very, very, I'm very cognizant as well, though, that to be able to think in that way is a privilege.
Yes.
Be able to recognize that you're being triggered is a privilege. Mm-hmm. And that comes with years of healing, I think, of being able to continuously refine your inside so that they do reflect your outside. That's a privilege that very few people on earth actually get to experience, when their insides are matching their outsides. So I'm continuously trying to refine that process for myself, actually.
Well, and I think we're a work in progress, right? So we're constantly expanding and evolving and growing and understanding ourselves more and more. But to me, I look at this circumstance that we're in very much the same. I haven't ever really thought of the word privilege, but I guess more for me, it's been more of just an awareness of there are so many blessings and there are so many gifts. And yes, there is pain as well, and there's loss and there's grief, but there's so many blessings. And I think a lot of times it isn't even so much what is actually happening, it's how we choose mm-hmm. to focus our energy and our thoughts and our words and our actions around it. And sometimes I think it is not as easy as, because easy as isn't real word really, you know, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter, but it can be as simple as changing our mind or making a decision. But when we have those old stories, like you were saying, the childhood or ancestral things, it can be very hard to do that.
Yeah, I think the choices become more accessible to us once the choice to make a more joy-filled or love-filled decision is more accessible to us, if we've had an opportunity to really heal our past or heal our childhood or heal our ancestral. I call them lesions. That's just the scientific term that is the language that really works for me. But it's my belief that you can actually see these signatures on your DNA of the experiences that you've had throughout your lifetime. And these signatures change as you come into wholeness.
Okay, that's fascinating. So, okay, you can see on your DNA the lesions where the trauma or pain happened.
Yeah, or you can also see on your DNA where you've had a very peaceful, joyful, sure, loving childhood as well. But yeah, they're little molecules. They sit on top of your DNA, mm-hmm, and they change over the course of your lifetime. And one of my favorite areas of research and study right now is to look at how, when we come into our wholeness, or when we come home to ourselves, or when we experience the joy of being with an animal, if that's what brings us peace, or being in nature, if that's what brings us peace, or being in love, if that's what brings us peace, our DNA, those markers rearrange themselves on our DNA to reflect our outsides and our insides coming into more coherence.
So wouldn't that mean then, Colby, that, because I think that there are so many people, and probably many people that are listening and watching right now, that really struggle to find the harmony between, okay, this is the way it is, mm-hmm, and this is the way that I may be able to create it to be. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, if there was a couple of things that kind of stand out for you that could help people bridge that gap, what is that to you?
My personal experience actually has been to become really still. So for example, if I am experiencing a trigger, to really ask myself if I'm responding from a place of truth for my current reality, or whether I'm responding appropriately to a given trigger. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe a good example for, I don't know, being triggered by the fear of the virus of getting sick. Are you currently in danger in your current environment of contracting the virus? Does your current environment at home, for most of us, merit that trigger point? And if not, what is it in your environment that's actually causing you to come into a space of fear? And then it's I just become really, really cognizant of what is the truth of my current environment. And then the other thing that I like to do, if I'm still actually being triggered by something, is to do something different, so that my response this time is different to my response last time, so that the response doesn't become a habit. Mm-hmm. And when I say do something different, I don't know, it can be, the example I like to use is wiggle your big toe. Just change the story, mm-hmm, of the way you're responding, so that the way you're responding isn't response from a habit-formed space. It's a response from a really conscious, aware space. And when you're wiggling your big toe, immediately you're stopping yourself from being in the habit-formed way of, mm-hmm, responding, and you're doing something different. And doing something different, if you can do so, when you're in a habit, you can just do one tiny thing that's different every time you're in trigger habit, then eventually over time your DNA will rearrange itself so that it's more reflective of your environment as opposed to of your memory of your environment.
Yeah, I think for me, I absolutely agree. And I find that, you know, wiggling your big toe, what it has done for me is it interrupts, exactly, the narrative. It disrupts maybe even the narrative that's going on in my head that says that whatever it's saying, you know, the bullshit story that it's saying, and helps you to redirect it to a place that that is calling us into presence of this immediate space, not the past, not yesterday, not what we even think might be in the future, but right here, right now.
Precisely. Yeah, absolutely. It's powerful.
So, it is powerful. And so when people are in that place of, okay, I recognize I'm having that trigger, and it probably goes to childhood, mm-hmm, and maybe I don't even know exactly where it goes to, your, mm-hmm, suggestion is that if I just pull myself into the awareness of it and redirect it, do something different to kind of break the chain, that what happens is it literally starts to create, the DNA within me starts to change over a period of time, to where if we just pretended 10 years down the road, if I continue to do it, I won't ever have that reaction anymore.
Exactly.
Based on that trigger. I'll find another trigger probably, right? But I won't have that one.
Well, you said earlier, we're a we're a work in progress. We're constantly coming to this space of wholeness, coming back to wholeness, coming back to wholeness, coming back to what would love do, coming back to what would truth do. And we, I, at least for me, I can only be in that perspective of what would love do, what would truth do, if I'm present, if I'm not thinking about what love would have done when I was a little child and I was afraid, or what love will do 10 years down the line when, I don't know, I don't have a home and I'm living out of my car. That's mm-hmm. not my current reality. What love would do today is all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it. So really what that helps us do, and you mentioned this in some of the things that we had talked about, is it helped us, it helps us to be more resilient. It helps us to, you know, maybe stand in our power of the present moment versus the past or the future. So resilience, why is that so important to you right now? Because I know that's what's been on your heart.
Yeah, well, I think it's because it's something that we can actively create for ourselves. We can become more resilient, and the way we respond to an environment actually cultures resilience in our systems. So, and it's something that we really need as a global community right now. We need to be resilient to everything that's happening around us. And actually, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about this particular work is how it cultivates compassion for another's perceived lack of resilience. So when we look at an individual who really is responding from a fear-based space, who is afraid, and their behaviors are actually reflecting that fear trigger, we can look at them from the perspective, hopefully, of, well, this probably isn't your truth. I don't think fear is anybody's truth space of speaking, or if they're not responding from a place of love. And we can actually really, I think when you can see somebody with that level of compassion of, I wonder what your story is, what's encoded in your DNA, what your cellular story is, to so that your lack of resilience, perceived lack of resilience, is reflected so strongly in your behavior. And once you can see a person at that level, you can really start to hopefully help them with tools to cultivate resilience, or at least give them the awareness that they might not be responding from the truth of their current environment.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, I mean, like when you said that, I was thinking for myself, my nature tends to be, most people would say, overly compassionate. Like I'll see garbage on the ground and my husband will say, those assholes that just throw garbage on the ground. And I'm like, I like to think that it was in the back of the truck and it blew out. And, you know, like I tend to kind of go more that route always. But what I was just thinking is, when I see something like you were saying, you know, somebody that maybe is responding from fear, my first sense or thought, and I think I've trained myself this way, is to think how difficult it must be to live in that type of experience, in that type of place, with that type of fear, and not in a sense of pity, but in more of a sense of just compassion for what their story is, because you don't know. I haven't walked in their shoes. I have no right to judge. And if I can be in compassion, that's going to be the healthiest, most powerful place for me to be.
Absolutely. One of my absolute favorite statements is, and I'm not there, but I love the idea that if you can't see God in all, you can't see God at all. I try to remember that every time I'm shouting at the television, or I don't know, whatever, being triggered by a there's a spark of light in everyone. And I think that for some of us, it's been with the damage is so profound that spark of light is really, really very deeply hidden. And just acknowledging the spark of light oftentimes can be enough to get that spark of light at least wiggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to help it activate it, you know, mirror it back. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, compassion. And so those of you that are listening, I'm hoping you just heard that. Compassion, because right now in this world, especially in this country, people are at odds in ways that, I mean, especially with the last couple of days in Minneapolis and what's, people are at such odds and in so much judgment and being in judgment. I like that. If you can't see God and everything, you can't see God in anything. Like, is that what you said? I think that's what you said. Pretty something like that.
God in all, you can't see God at all.
At all. In all and at all. See, I just add more words because I'm a talker. we really have to get into that compassionate, non-judgmental place because, you know, and I really think this is an important question that you may have more insight for some of us, because as I'm sure you're aware of, you know, you can watch any station, you can read any news report, you can listen to any government official, any health official, and there's a different answer for everything. You know, whether it's, okay, we have this, we don't have this, do this, don't do this, this does this, this doesn't do this, this is the way you get it, this is not the way you get it. And everything is, it's for an average everyday person that hasn't studied viruses, that doesn't know the background, it can be very confusing for people. So what my sense has been and what Spirit has spoken to me to say is go right here. Listen to this inner guidance, because this is where your power is, and we're all being guided by that. It's just whether you're listening or not. But I would love your perspective or your response, because I know that as we're sitting here right now, we have people that are listening and saying, I have no idea what the right answer is. I have no idea. I want to go to, you know, the grocery store. I want to go out to dinner, but I don't know if I dare. And I want to see my son before he leaves to go to the Air Force, but I'm not sure if I can, you know, things like that. So what would you say to that, to the confusion for people? And what is your guidance as a doctor and as a scientist?
Well, my first thought is, and I'll be completely honest, I have no idea either. Mm-hmm. And when I have no idea, that's when I get to drop into my heart, because yeah, ideas come out of my head. Mm-hmm. And from my heart, I've really obviously been thinking hard about this perspective of how can you reverse the damage in an individual that would cause them to do something so heinous. Mm-hmm. What level of damage are they experiencing? How deeply buried is their light? And how can they unlearn that? How can they unlearn this? Nobody would consciously act in that day. I have to believe that. I have to believe that for my own sanity. Mm-hmm. These responses, mm-hmm, that an individual would have that would cause so much damage to another human being have to be a subconscious, programmed, old, old, old story, and mm-hmm, a story of hurt, a story of pain, a story of neglect, a story of cruelty. And then once that has been acknowledged and brought up to awareness, what do you do to a child who's neglected, or a child who's being treated cruelly, or a child who's been hurt? You love harder, you mm-hmm, laugh harder, you joy harder. And I don't have the answers, and all I can do is love harder. All I can do is laugh harder. All I can do is joy harder. And I actually do think that there is something has to happen. I'll use the example of a police academy. Something has to happen at that training facility that starts to reverse the damage that was done at childhood for some of those individuals, so that they can go out into the world. And actually, it doesn't even have to be damaged. Something has to be done during basic training so that those individuals who are going out to the world with the directive of protecting us, mm-hmm, have got some degree of unlearning of their childhood damage, or unlearning of their ancestral damage, or just coming into wholeness. And I don't know, like something like a Celebrate Your Life conference at Police Academy. Help them to see their light, because mm-hmm, an individual who can see their light can't behave in that way, in my opinion. an individual who knows that deep inside of them they're divine, deep inside of them they carry the light of the universe, could never, ever, ever perpetrate that kind of an atrocity on another human being. And that light is in all of us. It's hidden, and it can be hidden from something that happened to our grandparents. Mm-hmm. It can be programmed into us from children. I'm reading a great book right now that talks actually about how some of these subconscious racial prejudices would be programmed into an individual as a child with great parenting, with being in a great environment. It's so subconscious, it's so subversive, it's so insidious. And that has to change. That we have, and it changes in our teaching and in our training and in our we're light workers. Mm-hmm. I just come out as a light worker. We have a responsibility to be that, and we can be that. We do it for ourselves. Our community gets to experience all of these amazing speakers, all of these amazing experiences, so that we can come closer and closer to our wholeness, so we can touch our light. We have to find a way to make that more accessible to the wider community.
And do you feel as though, like, one of the things you said that you said is that they're not conscious, right? And so they're not conscious of the behaviors or how they're affecting them or the ripple effect of that. So if you're not conscious of something, how do you heal it? How do you recognize that there is a need for healing? Or is it that if we create more healthier experiences and environments, whether that's in our education system and our healthcare system and our mental health system, in our training, that we help to bring that up and out with each one of those processes or each one of those experiences?
Yeah, I think first up, an awareness is really helpful. And from a scientific perspective, I would love to take a saliva sample from an individual who could do that to another human being. And I would love to evaluate where the damage in their cells lies and then give them practices and show them weekly, okay, this is where your DNA was when you at time zero. And after a week of spending 40 minutes with your beloved pet every day, just you and your pet present together, this is where your DNA is today. We'll add a week of being with your pet and not speaking, just breathing deeply and counting your breaths. And over time, you said, if you're not conscious, how do you change that? Well, firstly, becoming conscious and becoming conscious through your awareness, becoming really, really sensitive. We're here to have a good time. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be having fun. And I don't think a person who could hurt another human being is having a good time. Right. I don't think they're in their joy. They're not in their heart. They're not in love. And becoming aware that you're not in your joy, or you're not in love, or you're not acting from that place, that's a level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy. That's a level of consciousness. I'm angry. That's conscious. I'm fearful. That's conscious. And as soon as you start to cultivate from that awareness, maybe there's an opportunity for you to be different. When you know different, you do different. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So do you think, okay, so as a scientist, you take the DNA and you can look at it and you can give an approximate, I don't know if it's age range or time frame of when trauma versus non-trauma happened in somebody's life. So let's just say I'm 49 now, and let's just say that I've never done any meditation. So maybe I haven't been calm. So my DNA maybe is kind of a little erratic. But if I meditated for the next year, and then I stopped again, you would see in that year something that had shifted, the little molecules on the top or whatever, so that you would be able to, you wouldn't necessarily know what it was, but you could certainly determine, okay, this actually is working for you. Like this worked, it shifted, it made a change for you, right?
Yeah, Sunny, you can see that in 15 minutes, it doesn't need to be. I've read peer-reviewed scientific publications where you take a bunch of stressed out city workers, you look at their gene expression of their, you look at which genes are switched on and which genes are switched off in their blood. And then you have them sit down for 15 minutes and deep breathe. Then you take a second blood sample and you can see their fight or flight genes switched down. And you can see their longevity genes turn on in 15 minutes. I think there are some people who have never had, it's hard to fathom, but there are some people who have never had an opportunity to sit down for 15 minutes and breathe deeply.
Mm-hmm. Or at least chosen to, right? At least chosen to, because it would be a choice to just sit back and go, okay, I want to watch the grass grow for, like, I'm not a sit down kind of girl. I'm a go, go, go kind of girl. But I have moments where, okay, I want to sit down. I meditate every day because that's, you know, I think life-saving to me. But I've heard, and so it's really cool to hear it from a scientist who knows, because we hear things and we don't know if we're hearing is true or not, but it resonated with me. And I've actually taught this for years, that if you sit in anger for 10 minutes, it can have the effect of 10 times that. So that energy, that vibration ripples out for whatever, let's just say it's for 5 hours. So is it worth that 10 minutes? And so that's one of the things I've always told my students is, I'll give you 10 minutes. You can bitch, you complain, you can cry, you can whine. I'll give you 10 minutes. After that 10 minutes is over, I'm done listening. And it's time to redirect so that you can shift that energy.
Yep.
I love it.
Me too.
I love it. So for those that don't know, Colby, about epigenetics, I didn't even know there was a word for it. I'm not a science brain. I'm totally energy spirit. I have no, like, I had to read, I'm not kidding you guys, reading her deeper bio, like, you just can't imagine all the things this lady has done. It's incredible. And one of the things, I don't know how many people know what the Alien of Extraordinary Abilities visa is. That is the Einstein visa. Einstein right here. Like, you have to have some kind of Einsteinish energy in order to get that. Okay. So brilliant. Yes. So if you were going to explain to people who have, I think a lot of people, especially in my community, at least, they have an idea of it, but they don't know what to call it. They're not really sure how it works. So could you give us a little brief 3-4 minute class on epigenetics and what they can, how people can start to maybe take a little more control and power in their life and not just blame it on, well, that's, I hear this a lot. That's the way I am. That's how my family was. It's in my genetics. And I'm like, ah. So could you speak to that a little bit, my friend?
I'd love to. So epigenetics is the science of how your cells respond to your environment. And your environment can be anything. It can be the thoughts you have. It can be the food you eat. It can be the company you keep. It can be a multitude of things. And our cells are constantly responding to our environmental stimuli to bring us to react and to respond. And so that can be measured in our genes. We can measure how our cells are responding to our environment by looking at epigenetic markers. Mm-hmm. So epi literally means above genetics. And one of the things I love about it is it's fluid. So that's the way I am. That idea, that's the way I am. Actually, I agree. Yes, that's the way you are right now. Mm-hmm. And give yourself a treat. Be loving towards yourself, be loving out in the world. And then that's the way I am 10 days from now is very different from that's the way I am today. Mm-hmm. And it's not taught in schools. When I was at school, I was taught that you inherit your genes from your mom and dad, and that gives you predispositions to a given illness, or makes you more likely to do this, or makes you not want to do that. It never even resonated with me as a, I don't know, as an 11-year-old learning about genetics. So I was like, that doesn't seem right.
It makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. We have too much power in our lives. Everything's already going to be controlled. What's the point?
Precisely. And yet here we are knowing, observing through a simple saliva test before and after a given experience that our genes shift, the expression of our genes, which genes are switched on and which genes are switched off at a given moment. So historically, we've needed particular genes to be switched on. But epigenetics really played out for me as part of this interview. I have my epigenetic programming, and we always teach what we need to know. My epigenetics is that my ancestral lineage is of the untouchable tribe back in India. So I have Indian ancestry. India has this this way of stratifying the populations where you have the highest echelons of society, and then you have the lowest echelons, and then you have the outcasts or the untouchables who aren't even permitted to be a part of society. And so that was the story playing in my cells. And I've become very, very aware of it over the years. Over and over again, I come back to awareness, I come back to awareness, I come back to awareness. Am I responding from my untouchable history, or am I responding from my current truth? And it's kind of interesting because there is a dichotomy between, it's so generous of you to be talking about my credentials, and they're true. I was recruited here on an Einstein visa, but that Einstein visa is really, really different. My outside of an Einstein visa is very, very different to the cellular expression that I have in my genes of the untouchable ancestry. I watched it play out in receiving your email about doing this podcast with you. I responded from my unworthy, from my, that's not safe because you're not permitted to be on an even keel with the highest ranks of society. And what was fascinating for me was when I rewound, so that's another healing modality for me. I rewind a given situation in my life and I ask, okay, now you've observed it, what would love have done? Mm-hmm. And Sunny Love would have sat at her computer and thought, wow, what an amazing opportunity that I get to spend 40 minutes with this wonderful teacher and have a great conversation. And, you know, my response, I was like, oh my God, are you really serious? I like passed out completely. That wasn't my balanced prep. That wasn't an appropriate response to my given environment. And so epigenetics for me is an opportunity to think about the story that's coded in our cells and to ask ourselves, does that story serve us, or does it stop us from moving forward and being light? And there are many, many great publications around this. I won't go into too many details, but I've got a little handout as well for your listeners about epigenetics. But just very quickly, there's a really great epigenetic study that looked at mice who were predisposed to fearing a given scent because they were giving a small electric shock when they were exposed to a given scent. And then they bred from that mouse over 7 generations, and every single one of the descendants of that original mouse that was trained to be afraid of a scent were afraid of the scent without actually being exposed to the electric shock. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I ask myself, what is that scent for me? What is the story that my grandparents needed me to know? For me, it is that it's not safe to be out in the world and to be seen and to be heard as a female Indian untouchable. And what is the truth of my current environment? And it's very, very different. Bless my grandparents. All they wanted to do was to keep me safe.
Right.
But they hadn't recognized or understood that my environment today would be completely different to their environment that they were keeping me safe from. Right. And that's why I love to become conscious of my environment, because mm-hmm. then it allows me to know whether my cells are responding to my current environment, or are they responding to a memory of an environment that was created for me 100 years ago. So when I say it's the science of how our cells respond to our environment, and I talk about how environment can mean many, many different things, including our thoughts, we give ourselves an opportunity to respond to truth or at least truth as it's perceived through our five senses or our multi-senses. We're lucky enough to be that.
Yes, yes. And I have the link up there, my friends. So anybody that wants to grab that link, drcolvy.com/about, she will have the information there that you can grab to get her information. All right, Colby, I have one more question. Then I got just a couple of fun, lighthearted questions. Okay.
Perfect.
So in the world, the way it is today, with people starting to venture out into the world, baby stepping it, some people are really scared. Some people are like ready to do it yesterday. As a scientist, a doctor, and a spiritual being that sees kind of a little bit different perspective than others, what is your suggestion to people?
Well, I've personally been very lucky because I can test myself, and people who don't have that opportunity, you know.
Because you made your own test, right? You made your own test?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a scientist, so she can figure out how to test. I mean, that's so fantastic. I love it. So you can test yourself, but for people that haven't or aren't, and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I should go, if I shouldn't, I don't know if I need to wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Like, as someone from your perspective, knowing that the mind and the way we think absolutely affects our body, and it affects our stress levels, it affects our immune systems. What would you say to just the average person that's sitting in a space that's kind of deciding what they should or shouldn't do?
Drop into your heart. Act from your truth. Stay in joy as much as you can. And as you're out and about in the world, for me, I look at everybody as if they were my child or my mother or my brother or my sister. And then it becomes really easy to want to protect them. And being out in the world and wanting to protect everybody else is very protective for yourself as well. So you mentioned going to the supermarket. For me personally, I choose to wear a mask going to the supermarket because I wouldn't want to be in. And it's well known, 40% of the people who have this virus don't have any symptoms, outward mm-hmm. symptoms of having the virus. So mm-hmm. for me personally, it's not. It just makes sense for me to want to protect another human being who's in my environment from receiving any potentially contaminated droplets that I might have. I don't have the answers, Sunny, but that's mm-hmm. I can tell you what I do. I personally choose to be out in public and feel like I want to protect those individuals that I'm encountering by doing everything that I possibly can in my power to wash my hands and wear a mask and not spread anything any further. And social distance, I mean, the guidelines, wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands. Mm-hmm. They actually do make sense to me. I know that this whole event in world history has caused a lot of dividing opinions. So mm-hmm. that's just what makes sense to me. Wear a mask, wash sure. your hands, stay 6 feet away.
And the first three things you said were drop into your heart, mm-hmm. sit to your truth and what love would do, and stay present in your own truth or guidance. Absolutely. So, and I think that's what the message has been for me as well. I think when you're doing that, then as long as you're following that guidance, you will be honoring yourself and honoring others by that. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Thank you so much, Colby. All right, I got a couple of fun questions for you.
Cool.
So, I do. Are you ready?
Okay. I am so ready.
What is an interesting fact about yourself that most people don't know?
That's suitable for television.
But no, it doesn't have to be. This is off the cuff. It can be anything. I like the wild, crazy stuff.
I'm Welsh, so my even though I'm ancestrally Indian and I live in the US, I actually love being from Wales, which is a tiny little country in England where they have their own language and they have their own arts and they have their own history and stories and yeah, I'm Welsh.
Huh. Well, that's cool. I love it. You wouldn't know that, but I hear your little English. I don't think that's Welsh, but I hear that in there because you don't have real strong accent. All right, next question. What is your favorite material item in your life right now, and why do you love it so much?
I love my toothbrush. And I love my toothbrush because I hate brushing my teeth. Like, I don't know what it is. That's, again, my cellular damage. I have an antipathy for teeth brushing. But I don't know, I have this great, buzzy, fun toothbrush that makes my teeth really clean. And I was really conscious moving to America because coming from Britain and moving to America, we're very conscious about our teeth.
I hear that.
So I'm this British person. I hate brushing my teeth. Uh-huh. And I haven't been to the dentist in God knows how long. But I have a really good, nice electric toothbrush right now.
Have nice, bright white teeth too.
Thank you.
I love it. Okay. In one or two words, what is your greatest quality?
Oh, my greatest quality in one or two words. I listen to rules. I'm like, I can only use one or two rules to describe my greatest quality. I love people. Mm. I know that's three words. I didn't listen to the rules.
That's close enough.
I love people. Yeah. I love sentient beings. I love living on this earth, and I really want to make the best of this experience.
Yeah. Me too, sister. Me too. All right. What is your greatest challenge in one or two words?
Oh, I am very shy, and I it's getting better, but my shyness can be debilitating sometimes. Mm. Like, yeah, my shyness.
Well, congratulations for being on here then, because you definitely pushed yourself beyond what you're used to. And that's a great reminder for everybody else that's watching and listening as well, that sometimes it's valuable. Imagine if she let her shyness hold her back from sharing this information with us today. That's beautiful. Thank you, sister. All right. My last question for you is, if you had one message that you could leave the audience, one thing that you would want everyone to know, what would that be?
We can change the level of consciousness on earth by being the change that we wish to see in our own cells. Be the change you wish to see in your cells, and the universe will rearrange itself around you.
Okay, now I want to make sure you guys heard that. Cells, like C-E-L-L-S, not selves. Be the change you wish to be in your cells, and then the universe will work its way around. I love that message. I love that message. Thank you, Dr. Colby. I appreciate your time and your energy and your honesty. I know that we've had so many people. I mean, just as I look, really, really nice person, Dr. Colby. Thank you so much. What a fantastic off the cuff. You're great. So talented. Thank you both. Great talent. I love Wales. What a sweetheart. So you've got some fans, and a lot of people wanted to know how to get a hold of you. So again, my friends, if you want to reach Dr. Colby, www.drcolvi, K-U-L-V-I. Her first name is Colvinder. Is that how I say it? All right.
Perfect.
Colvinder. I call her Colby because, you know, we're besties here. But drcolvi.com/about. Okay. All right, my friends. So thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope that this has given you a little bit of insight, maybe expanded your awareness a bit. I hope that you enjoyed getting to know Dr. Colby. She is a bright light in this world and absolutely a change maker. And one of my greatest joys is to be able to connect with people that are of like minds and like hearts, and that can share and expand our awareness and remind us of who we are and the tools we have. And remember, you guys, the environment you are in is what changes. So the environment you watch, the news, the media, whatever, all of that is your environment. So beautiful reminder. For those of you that are new to me, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. You can join me every weekday at 1:11 p.m. Why 1:11? Well, because it's a little different and I'm a little different. And because 1:11 is new beginnings from the angels. 1:11 p.m. every day right here on Sunny Dawn Johnston fan page. And we have different topics, different guests. Sometimes you just get me. Sometimes you get some great friends to join us. So you can always join there. If you have comments or questions, feel free to share them right here in the comments. If you know somebody that you know would really benefit from this, go ahead and tag them right in the comments and let them know. Or you can share the whole video from this page right onto your page or into your group. We thank you so much. This is also available on iTunes and in Google Play. And thank you again, Colby, so very much. Mwah.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.